Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
The Lord willing, this will be the last message in this series on wine is a mocker. Proverbs 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't even look upon wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Don't be tempted by commercials about wine and beer. Wine is a mocker. First of all, consider the deceitfulness of it. You might think that it seems to be harmless and mild. Don't expect ones that profit off of the selling of it to be open and honest about the dangers of it. Don't be persuaded by worldly individuals misusing Scripture, seeking to justify the drinking of it. Number two, consider the mockery that it makes of men. Two saved men lived among people upon whom God poured out his judgment. Lot was helped by God to escape Sodom before fire and brimstone fell upon the city. Noah was helped by God to escape before the flood came and destroyed everyone but him and his family. After Lot escaped from Sodom, he got drunk one night and committed incest with one daughter, and the next night committed incest with his other daughter. He had escaped, but he then fell terribly to wine. After Noah had escaped destruction by the flood, he fell to wine. I believe that Noah was probably well aware that drinking could be dangerous, and I imagine that he had heard terrible stories about wicked things that people did before the flood under the influence of alcohol. But perhaps he thought that he could safely drink in the privacy of his tent. Perhaps he thought that he could stop when he thought he was feeling the negative effects coming on. It is interesting that both of the men became indecently exposed to relatives. When a person becomes drunk, he might do terrible things to others, and others might do terrible things to him. A drunk can be very vulnerable. Sometimes relatively good people might help a drunk to get up after he has fallen and to make it home. But sometimes a drunk might fall prey to evil people. He might come to after he has been beaten and robbed or molested. A drunk can be very vulnerable. God gave a good description of the kind of man that Noah was before the flood came. God said, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. But after the flood, he fell to wine. I do not believe that God led Noah to get drunk after the flood. How could it be that a man that had been such a good man before the flood fell to wine after the flood? Remember, wine is a mocker. Number three, the inhibitions that it destroys. Under the influence of alcohol, one man might do things that he would not have done apart from the influence of alcohol. Under the influence of alcohol, a man might not do things that he would have done apart from the influence of alcohol. A biography of Mr. J. Frank Norris told that Mr. Norris's father was a drinking man most of his life. It told of a Christmas when Mr. Norris was a boy, 7 years old, and he emptied his father's jug of liquor and broke the bottle. When his father asked him why he did it, he said, "It's because I love you and I love mother." The father was enraged, and he took a heavy whip and nearly beat the 7-year-old boy to death. According to the story, the father would have beaten his boy to death if the mother had not thrown herself between the boy and his father. His nose was broken, his head was lacerated, and his body was cut from head to foot. The doctor came and bandaged him up. The next day was Christmas. Listen to these words from the story, quote, "His father was a very tender-hearted man, And when he came to himself and saw the lacerated body of his little boy, he fell down on his knees by the bed, pulled back the bandages from his face and kissed him and said, "Daddy didn't do it. Daddy didn't do it. Liquor did it." And he prayed a prayer that has gone with the preacher all of his life. "Oh God, liquor has ruined my life and my home. Take this boy that I've been so cruel to and send him up and down the land to smite the awful curse that wrecked his father's life and broke his mother's heart." End of quote. Alcohol is not a spirit. Some might try to excuse themselves by claiming that alcohol is a devil that overcomes them. But even though alcohol is not an evil spirit or a devil, it can take control of the person that drinks it. Alcohol is not a disease. Here are some excerpts from a poem by a W.J. Maynard entitled, "Is Alcoholism a Disease?" Quote, "The men who make and sell the stuff and line their vaults with gold claim alcoholism's a disease, like smallpox or a cold. And with this fiction they beguile their hearts and feel no shame. The one disease in all the world that's bottled at the still and sold throughout the countryside. The one disease in all the world that governments promote by licensing to make and sell. The one disease that no man contracts through germ or virus spore, but brewed and stilled by law's decree, it flourishes the more. The one disease that no man contracts except by his own will, and by this will, through habit formed, invites it for the kill. And do our saloons then not know this curse is their affair? The term disease will not avail. Their judgment they shall bear." End of quote. If you are a child of God, don't be involved in the selling of alcohol. Don't be involved in the serving of alcohol. Don't be involved in the manufacturing of alcohol. A desire for alcohol and its effects drives the purchasing of it, and a love of money drives the making and serving and selling of it in a commercial sense. Believer, think of standing before the judgment seat of Christ after being a part of this wicked business. If you are aware of some of the terrible effects of alcohol, do you love money so much that you'll sin by being a part of that wicked business in order to make money? Don't say, "The place I work for makes me serve and sell alcohol." No, it doesn't. You choose to do so. Evangeline Booth has been quoted as declaring, "Drink has shed more blood, hung more crape, sold more homes, plunged more people into bankruptcy, armed more villains, slain more children, snapped more wedding rings, defiled more innocence, blinded more eyes, dethroned more reason, wrecked more manhood, dishonored more womanhood, broken more hearts, blasted more lives, driven more to suicide, and dug more graves than any other evil that has cursed the world." End of quote. The story has been told by Mr. Mel Trotter of a time in which his little child was seriously ill. And I've taken more than one account to put this together, but he was a drinking man that lived in a rat-infested cellar apartment. The doctor came, diagnosed the case, and gave him money to go to a drugstore, which he said was two blocks from there. He told Mr. Trotter to run, not walk, and to come right back. Mr. Trotter stated that he looked to the left and saw the drugstore about two blocks away, but he looked to the right and saw that the saloon was only one half block away. He went to the saloon and spent the doctor's money there. Someone else started buying drinks, and he stayed into the night. Then he was thrown into a room to sleep it off. As the next night began to approach, he came enough to his senses to decide to go home. His child's little body was in a box, clothed with new clothes and new shoes. He slipped the shoes from her feet and sold them and bought another drink. He told that his wife, over the body of their dead baby that was lying in a little white casket, made him promise that he would never take another drop of whiskey. He put his arms around her and promised that he would never touch liquor again as long as he lived. Quote, "The funeral had not been over for 2 hours before I staggered home so drunk I could not see," end of quote. He finally decided to commit suicide, but passed by Pacific Garden Mission and went in, and according to his testimony, became a different person that night. God saved him and made him a new man, and his wife got a new husband, and he found a new tomorrow. There might be someone that listens to this program that says, "I'm saved, and I'm a social drinker, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with me drinking a beer or a glass of wine now and then. You may tell all the sad stories that you want, but I don't believe that I will ever be an all-out drunk. I admit that it might be true that you'll never be such a drinker, that you can't hold down a job and pay your bills. But listen to these words from Proverbs 23:31-33. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup. When it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." What if you do drink, but you never get so drunk that you physically abuse your children or physically abuse your spouse, or you never cause any serious car accident while under the influence of alcohol, or you never get fired for not being able to do your job because of drinking? Have you ever had a problem with heart adultery? Have you ever battled temptation to look on someone of the opposite sex lustfully? Have you ever struggled with turning away from some sensual picture? Have you ever caught yourself just before you said something in wicked anger? Have you ever almost said something off color or crude or mean, but caught yourself just before you did? What if you got just drunk enough that some of the good restraints that you exercised in the past were eroded? What if you got just drunk enough that you dwelt on a lustful thought instead of turning away from it? Could that lead to deeper sin? What if you got just drunk enough that you blurted out wicked words that you would have had sense enough while sober to have restrained and to have repented of? I have enough trouble in my fight against sin without having my good inhibitions destroyed. It has been told that a German army blitzed the French army during World War II, and France lost the battle. Quote, "The French army, to the complete amazement of the world, crumpled like a crushed eggshell." Aged General Pétain, in a radio address, explained the fall of France in these tragic words, "Our soldiers were drunk and couldn't fight," end of quote. Believer, wouldn't it be a shame if you drank even a little, and as a result, you lost a battle to sin? By the grace of God, be a teetotal abstainer. Remember, wine is a mocker.
Why not now? Why not now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.
Thank you.